It's a Week 10 NFL review and an Eagles-Packers Monday night preview on the Shots at Tanier NFL podcast from FTN Fantasy for Monday, November 10th, 2025. I'm Aaron Schatz. I'm the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. And once again, we are without Mike Tanier today. Mike went on a small vacation and was supposed to fly back Saturday night, I believe. And he ran into the government shutdown, canceling flights. So Mike is currently on a bus somewhere in the American South, probably in the Carolinas, on his way back to Philadelphia. And Brian Knowles is here again to fill in after watching some pretty good early games and some pretty big blowouts in the late games.
We wish Mike well if the Tanier Cruiser makes its way slowly up the East Coast.
Yes, the Tanier Cruiser. If only he had his own bus like John Madden, that would be awesome. Show is sponsored again by our friends at Underdog. Underdog is available in 40 states, Washington, D.C., and Canada. And it is the easiest place to make picks on your favorite player stats and win cash prizes. Play your first $5 on Underdog and get up to $100 in bonus funds or entries when you sign up with the code FTN. Terms apply, and as always, please play responsibly. And of course, since we're here live at 11 a.m. Eastern on Mondays and Thursdays, people can make comments and ask questions about this week's games. We're going to talk about the big blowouts for the really good NFC teams in a little bit, but first, we're going to talk about what I think was kind of the game of the day, which was the Patriots beating the Buccaneers 28-23. And I didn't realize it while I was watching because you get caught up in who's winning and losing and you don't necessarily realize how imbalanced a game was. But this actually turned out to be a huge reverse post-game win expectancy game. So post-game win expectancy, again, is my formula that takes all the underlying stats of the game and spits out, you know, given these underlying stats, how often would you expect each team to win? Tampa Bay, 95.5%. It is the third biggest reverse game of the year after the Bills and Ravens with the big comeback in week one and the Eagles-Rams game with the blocked kicks in week three. Those were both 97%. The Buccaneers had a 52% success rate on offense and the Patriots, 33%. The Patriots had more yards per play because they were totally dependent on awesome explosive plays. They also ran fewer plays, and they threw an interception, which Tampa Bay did not.
Yeah, one thing I do on the DVOA Discord after each week is I look at like the biggest plays of the week in terms of how they affected the playoff odds and stuff like that. And there's just like half of the list are huge New England offensive plays this week. You had, you know, the Kyle Williams 72-yard touchdown in the first quarter. You had Trevon Henderson's 55-yard touchdown to begin the third quarter. You had Mac Hollins for 54 in the fourth. You had Stephon Diggs toe-tapping touchdown at the end of the second quarter, which, you know, as the quarter expired, that flips the game around if that doesn't end up working. Just big play after big play after big play when almost on demand when they needed it.
Yeah, they couldn't run the ball. They basically had two runs all day. The 55-yarder and that toss right.
Right.
That got like 16 yards on a third and 10. Other than that, they could not run the ball. They kept running into Vita Vea for losses over and over again. They were on third and long constantly.
And they just converted it almost on demand, which was crazy. And because the Buccaneers kept getting pressured. They kept getting pressured over and over again. And May, as he's done most of the year, stood up to the blitz, found his open first read, and hit him for huge
gains. Yep, Kyle Williams' play was on a blitz. He was, like, standing tall in front of the blitz. Just really great. Just fantastic game for May. May is... I mean, you know, listen, I feel very blessed as a Patriots fan that we somehow found ourselves with one of the top six or seven quarterbacks in the league again. Like, and, wow.
Yeah. That fourth quarter drive really showed both what Mace is doing so well right now and what he still has to work on. In that, that was the one with the 54-yard toss to Hollins, which got off of the blitz, found him, got a huge gain. And then the red zone, where the when the Buccaneers didn't blitz and just covered everything and pushed him off his first read, that's when he threw the awful interception, because he could not find any, he could not find anyone there. So he just ended up tossing it in the traffic and keeping the Buccaneers alive.
And the Buccaneers, their defense has been fantastic the last few weeks. They are number one in defensive DVOA in the last 5 weeks. But they couldn't pull off this game because the Patriots got the explosives. What did you think of Mike Vrabel's decision to have Drake May deliberately sit down on the ball on first and goal to run 40 seconds off the clock in hopes that the Bucs would not get the ball back?
Now, I'll preface a little bit with May coming out and saying, oh, that wasn't what I was trying to do. I was just doing a run, and it didn't work very well, which I don't believe for a second. No. Have you actually seen that? I think that was a terrible idea that got bailed out by Stephon Diggs in the quarter. You can't assume a touchdown. The Patriots, like you said, were running into Vita Vey all game long and not getting
anything. They did on second and third down, by the way. They ran for 0 yards on second and third down.
It was a huge gamble. Yeah, a huge gamble that ended up paying off, but you judge on the process. And just, no, you don't assume a touchdown in these kind of situations. I mean, even if you were the Eagles and you had the push, and you like 99% chance of making it,
you can't assume a touchdown.
Yeah, you could botch the snap. Anything could happen.
Yes, I'm with you. We haven't run numbers on it. I haven't seen numbers. I haven't seen anybody run numbers on it, but I would have tried to score on the first down. Like, I'm not sure how to handle it in DVOA, because I don't know if I should handle it like a kneel down. Like, do I count it or not count it? They really weren't trying to gain yardage.
You would think that. I think you have to count it because they say they were. And at a certain point, you know, like, all right, if you want, we'll put it in if you insist. That you're just really bad at running sneaks, I guess.
The one uncomfortable thing as a Patriots fan was the trouble that May had when it was raining early and he was overthrowing guys. So I'm hoping that they practice in the rain when the rain starts coming here, that they practice outside so that is not a problem in the future.
These are the kind of things you want to be what you're worried about a second-year quarterback. Oh, he's not good in these specific situations.
Yes, Andrew Daly says there was a feeling of inevitability that May would make great back-breaking plays and only great quarterbacks instill that. Yeah, he's at this point. He is at that point where you just assume that he's going to come back, and that's remarkable for a guy in his second year. Lisa Cuddy wants to know, which game has the highest reverse post-game win expectancy in NFL history? And I bet a lot of people may know the answer. It's a game from 2002 between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the expansion Texans, where the Texans had something like 3 defensive touchdowns on defensive returns, and they had no offense at all. And they beat the Steelers anyway. And it wasn't even close that they beat the Steelers. That is the game with the highest reverse GWE since, like, at least 1978. The Patriots are now 69% in our playoff odds to win the division, even though their DVOA went down in this game. They dropped from 14th to 16th. But the Bills dropped more. And they now have a game and a half lead over the Bills. And the rematch between the two teams is in Foxborough. The Patriots are the number 2 team to get the 1 seed at 18.5%. This is wild. This is beyond my wildest dreams of what this season could have been for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, obviously some of this is schedule influenced, but the fact that they are here, they are in that 8-win conversation with the Broncos, with the Colts, as we all expected. We knew there were 3 great AFC teams coming in, and obviously we all knew it was going to be the Broncos, Colts, and Patriots. Obviously, that was a given. But
yes, the fact as that we all expected, Daniel Jones and Drake May would be.
And Bo Nix right up there with them. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are currently still not in playoff position halfway through the year.
Even though the Jaguars lost, the Chiefs are still out of the playoffs if the season ended today.
The Chiefs have lost the head-to-head tiebreaker against the number 7 seed. They've lost the head-to-head tiebreaker against the number 6 seed. They're behind the head-to-head tiebreaker against the number 5 seed. We all expect the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. They're like fifth in DVOA still. They're fantastic. It's time to go, because if they lose to the Broncos next week, they don't control their own playoff fate anymore.
Big game next week. We were talking before we came on, Brian and I. Next week is awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Broncos-Chiefs at 4 is the national game. And then regionally, we're about to talk about the Seahawks and Rams at 4. Plus, there's the Bills and Buccaneers at 1, and there's the Lions and Eagles at 8.
Yeah.
Next week is a really amazing selection of games. Let's talk about the NFC, because the top teams in the NFC and the 4 o'clock window all blew out their opponents. The 49ers, there's just too many injuries. The defense, they're going to get guys back on offense. Purdy might even come back next week. I don't know how much it matters. Mac Jones, super accurate in that game yesterday. I don't know how. Shanahan is an amazing quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
I still think Purdy is better than Jones, and it's good to get him back, but that defense is wrecked.
Yeah. Jones has been as good as Purdy on the short stuff all season long. Purdy gives you more of a deep ball and more of avoiding pressure. So, you know, so Mac Jones is doing the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. Purdy still makes that extra dimension. But then, yeah, that's not why they lost. They lost because the Rams just smashed them on defense over and over and over again.
Yes, and first of all, we talked about the best quarterbacks of the year, and yeah, like we all expected, it was Daniel Jones and Drake May. The guy who I think makes sense is Matthew Stafford. We didn't expect Stafford to be one of the top quarterbacks of the year because we thought his back was hurt, but we all knew that there was a good chance he could be if he was healthy. And the Rams have been phenomenal. The thing where they're running all this 13 personnel and destroying the other team's linebackers is really interesting, because they have not, it's just not the way Sean McVay ran the offense in the past. And now they're doing that all the time, which is interesting because it means there's a lot of plays where you don't have both Adams and Nakua on the field.
I've got the staff for that. He's used it. The Rams have used 13 personnel on 84. They used it on 84 plays in McVay's first 137 games as head coach, and they've used it more than that over the last 4 weeks. And, you know, against the Niners' depleted front, they had no match. They had no answer for the three tight ends. They allowed them to beat up the defensive line. It allowed them, you know, with no Warner in there, you had no one to cover them. The Niners did not have a way to respond to the three tight end looks.
So it sets up the DVOA bowl, because the Rams are now number 2 and the Seattle Seahawks are still number 1. They dropped a little bit despite beating Arizona big time. DVOA doesn't give them credit for the fumble recoveries, touchdowns. It basically just assumes fumble recoveries. And they are now the 8th best team through 9 games. And they were fantastic. They basically shut down the team after the half. Like, Darnold threw a pick, and like, they actually had some problems in the second half, but it didn't matter because their lead was so big. And then the fourth quarter, they just shut everything down and just ran the ball.
Yeah. The Seahawks have about 11% gap in DVOA over the Rams. And that's basically all special teams. They're pretty much even on offense and defense. It's the huge special teams gap between the two that has the Seahawks number 1. And most of that gap is the kicking game. And the Rams just, you know, cut Cardi and brought in Mevis to
yeah, that. Amazingly, they didn't cut Cardi.
But right.
They made him inactive, but he's still on the roster. They brought in thicker kicker, but they still have Cardi on the roster. Yeah, the main difference between these teams is the Seahawks are a little better on defense. The Rams are a little better on offense. And the special teams, although the Seahawks did drop out of the top special team spot this week, the Jets, who were already 3rd, moved to number 1 with their 2 return touchdowns. We'll get to the Jets in a second. And then the other team is the Lions. The Lions are fantastic. They had a ridiculous offensive game yesterday where did they punt the ball at all?
I think they did one late, if I remember correctly. But
it was basically just touchdown, 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 field goal, touchdown, field goal, touchdown.
Washington has not exactly been the firmest of defensive opponents this year, but Detroit made them look every inch as bad as they have been.
I feel like I have to keep like waving my hands going, Washington was good the first 5 weeks.
Yes.
Like Washington was good the first 5 weeks. Their defense was fine the first 5 weeks. The last 5 weeks, their defense has been down there with the Bengals.
Yeah, to get a point, it's getting to a point for Washington, right? It doesn't matter really that Jaden Daniels didn't horribly dislocate his arm. Don't rush him back. Don't bring him back if this is what the defense is going to be able to do.
Andrew Daly says Vegas has Seahawks as implied odds of 10% to win the Super Bowl and the Ravens at 6.7%. How does this compare to our projections? We have the Seahawks much higher. Our numbers love the Seahawks. I wrote about it last week. A lot of advanced metrics out there are based on EPA. DVOA likes the Seahawks a lot more than EPA does. I do feel like the last couple of weeks have sort of supported me on how good the Seahawks are. We have the Seahawks now as Super Bowl favorites. We have the Ravens at around 7%. Yeah. That's not much different from what we have. But we have the Seahawks much higher than what Vegas has. And the race for the one seed in the NFC is a great race between really good teams. I believe we now have the Seahawks at 31, the Rams at 27.
Yeah.
The Lions and Eagles at 15 each. Packers at 6, Buccaneers at 4.
If either of those teams sweeps the division series between the Seahawks and Rams, I think they're going to have the number one seed sewn up. They might beat each other up enough that someone else catches them. But if either of them manages to go 2-0, I think they're your bye week and they're your Super Bowl favorites, whoever that ends up being.
Yes, I mean, no disrespect to everything the Chiefs have done in the past. And I mean no disrespect to the Colts or the fact that the DVOA always loves the Ravens. Whoever wins the number one seed in the NFC is the Super Bowl favorite. Because those are the three best teams. And if the Eagles win the one seed, they will be by that point, they will have built themselves into one of the three or four best teams. So whoever wins the one seed in the NFC is going to be the Super Bowl favorite. Briefly, I just want to talk about the 9:30 a.m. game between the Colts and the Falcons. Because I didn't watch much of the Pittsburgh-Indianapolis game the week before. I felt like the Colts, the story of the game is that it isn't good that Daniel Jones stopped being awesome against pressure at the same time that the Colts offensive line stopped figuring out how to tell when blitzes were coming.
Yeah, and it's not great that Indiana Jones has turned back into Danny Dimes the week after you've just traded away your two first-round picks for the next 2 years, because this is your guy now.
They're talking now about signing him to an extension. They're talking about signing Jones to an extension, and he's still been better than he was with New York, but the incredible stats against pressure have gone away. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was, and the offensive line were incredible in this game, and you know, we don't give a lot of credit to running backs. And over the course of 17 games, running backs are simply not as valuable as quarterbacks. But in one game, a running back can be. And in this game, Jonathan Taylor was the way that he curled away from the pack of tacklers and then went around for that long run was insane.
Yeah, that ended up being the difference. That was astounding. It's the longest run in the league this year.
Yeah. Andrew Daly says Falcons also would have won if Penix wasn't unbelievably inaccurate. He misses so bad, receivers can't even touch the ball. Yeah. So I saw Penix in person 2 weeks ago. This week, we watched him closely on the 9:30 a.m. game. I'm really not a Penix guy at this point.
And then that shows the difference. Even when Danny Jones did have that bad game, he was able to have that touch to find Tyler Warren down the side on the, you know, in the overtime to get him in a range. Well, Penix, you know, Penix is lucky if the ball is in the same area code as his receivers.
1 for 18. Teams in this game combined 1 for 18 on third downs in regulation.
Yeah. It was an exciting game. It was a close game. The first three quarters should never be watched by a human being again.
It was actually, I thought it was a good game to send to Europe, but they got an exciting Taylor performance. They got an exciting overtime game. Next week, they get Washington and Miami.
Yeah, that's not going to be fantastic either.
Points. They'll get points next week. There'll be points.
Hey, and Miami's on a hot streak now. They showed they can actually beat a football team.
We usually talk about reverse post-game win expectancy. The only reverse post-game win expectancy game this week was the Patriots and the Buccaneers. But there was a second that was very close. and it was the Jets.
Ah, yes.
The Jets with their two special teams return touchdowns. And I believe Justin Fields had negative 5,000 yards at one point.
Roughly, yes.
He did end up finishing with positive yards because of a screen pass to Breece Hall that was all yards after the catch.
Yeah, at that point, that was like a 45-yard run, and he had 55 passing yards after that play. Like, great, good job.
And 54%. It was Jets 54%.
Yeah, you know, and now they are first in not only field goal value, because Nick Folk has been amazing this year, but also in kick return value. So they have something they can point to and say, this is working.
Special teams are absolutely working. It's a good thing that is the most inconsistent and least predictive part of football. Go Jets. As someone pointed out, I think 5 years, they now have a better record than the Giants because the Giants blew their 2-touchdown lead over the Bears yesterday.
And that blown Giants lead just felt inevitable. Like yeah, they're just setting up for the big disappointment here in the fourth quarter coming up.
Let's talk about the DVOA top 12. Let's count it down or up. Baltimore is 12.
Okay.
Tampa Bay, despite their loss, moves up to 11.
Makes sense. They were doing pretty good offensively.
Buffalo moves down 4 spots to 10.
Yeah.
Philadelphia now 9. They move up 2 spots without playing. Denver 8. Houston up to 7, despite the losing record.
Yeah.
What? Davis freaking Mills.
Scrambling Davis Mills there.
I was like, I understand how good their defense is. I don't understand how they're favored with Davis Mills at quarterback. And guess what? Scrambling Davis Mills pulled out a huge comeback. The Jaguars looked off. I mean, the fact that they blew that lead was terrible. But I understand you can't run the ball against, you can't move the ball against the Texans. That great is a great defense. The fact that they couldn't stop Davis Mills or get through that offensive line was really bad.
You know, they're in playoff position, but that did kind of feel like, oh, this is your season's over now. And it felt like that when you just let Davis Mills just crush you like that.
Andrew Daly likes Houston plus 1,100 to win the AFC South. They do have 2 games remaining against the Colts. That is true.
You can see the path, but oof.
Packers are 6th in DVOA. Kansas City, 5. Detroit, 4. Indianapolis and the Rams are surprisingly still really close to each other. I thought the Rams would open up a bigger lead. So Indianapolis is 3 and the Rams 2, but it is possible, based on opponent adjustments, that Indianapolis will pass the Rams, depending on what happens in tonight's game. Seattle is number 1 easily.
Right. That mostly feels good. We're at a point in the season where that mostly matches. I know Seattle's still higher in DVOA than they are in EPA and whatnot, but I think we're right in that particular one.
Yeah, and with the Patriots, I think people understand how much of it has to do with the schedule. Although the difference between their rating adjusted and non-adjusted is not as big now, interestingly enough. This game, DVOA did not like their performance, even though they won the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mayfield was 10 for 13 on passes over the middle against them. So, the defense is still an issue.
Yes, the defense is still an issue. That's where the biggest difference is for the Patriots between EPA and DVOA is on their defense. All right, let's preview a really good Monday Night Football game. The 6-2 Eagles against the 5-2-1 Packers. Both teams are better passing this year than they are running. But both teams are also better on pass defense than they are on run defense. The biggest, awesome, interesting split I found going through the FTN Stats Hub was that against man coverage this year, Jordan Love is 2nd in the league in DVOA and Jalen Hurts is 3rd. But the Packers are 3rd in the league in how often they run zone and the Eagles are 32nd.
Ah, yes. What's interesting most about this matchup is that all our numbers said this is a pretty even fight. You know, and I think the Packers are still currently 1-point favorites. 80% of the public money's on the Eagles in this game.
Yeah, in Green Bay.
Yeah, And I think this is mostly because the Packers laid an egg last week, and people have that short-term memory. They don't remember how good the Packers have been all year long, and that the Eagles are still kind of rounding into form a bit.
Yeah, I think if you would, I mean, I think I'm the only one who would have said before the season that it would have made sense that the Eagles would be 17th in defense at this point.
Right.
And even that is lower than I expected. The funny thing about my whole Eagles and Commanders prediction from the preseason is that I turned out to be very wrong about the Commanders, but I was absolutely right about the Eagles. Yes. Their defense could not be that good again for the second straight year.
And the
but fact they've won the games anyway.
And now, as you said, you have the team with the most man coverage against a team that destroys man coverage. So it's the Eagles. So what will the Eagles do? Will they be able to change their you know tendencies enough? I don't think so. I really think the Packers are going to have a good
he also time kills the blitz. Love is currently second in DVOA against blitzes. So you don't want to Fangio doesn't blitz that much, but you don't want to blitz Love at all.
Yeah.
Eagles also number one against tight ends, but it doesn't matter very much because there's no Tucker Kraft anymore. Yeah. So I guess they'll shut down Luke Musgrave.
Yeah.
And the Packers are 27th against passes up the middle, which is a great weakness to have against Jalen Hurts.
One day the Eagles will discover the intermediate middle area of the field. That won't be this week.
Andrew Daly says, Jordan Love is always ready to close his eyes and throw the ball for 50 yards against a blitz. Yes.
And it's worked out more often than not. It does feel like he's getting a bit frustrated on some of these, but so far so good, right?
The Lions, by the way, Sergio wants to know what was the Lions DVOA against the Commanders this week. It was 49%, not quite as high as I think you would expect, probably because of the opponent adjustments, because Washington's defense is so bad at this point. What is the weather forecast tonight? That is a good question. Yeah. Let's check that out.
Yeah, we're getting slammed with snow here in Chicago. I know there's this thin band of winter storm going everywhere here.
Yeah, you had snow tomorrow. Yesterday, I mean, during the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it is 28 degrees with a slight chance of snow.
They won't get as slammed as we are here, but yeah, that's going to be nice and cold.
Yes. No winds, but a slight chance of snow and a cold weather game, cold weather game tonight. So it should be really a really good game, really interesting, really good game. The Eagles have been stuffed a lot on the run, but also have explosives against a Packers run defense that doesn't stuff runners, but doesn't allow explosives. Yeah. So that's an interesting matchup as well.
Is there a chance the Eagles just run nothing but tush-push all game long against the team that led the charge to ban it this offseason?
Would be awesome.
Yes.
Just 3 yards at a tush-push at a time. That would be an amazing troll. But
at the very least, do it on the first play from scrimmage. Just come out, tush-push, just to establish it right off the bat. Like, no, this is still legal. We're still doing it. Right in front of your own house, in front of your own fans.
Yes. In the snow.
Yes.
I do like the Packers because they're at home. I like the Packers, but this is really close. This is a real 50-50 game, I think.
It is. I with the line, I think it's Packers minus one. I would take the Packers. It's basically a toss-up in the odds. I like Green Bay to come out on top of this one. I think Philadelphia has more holes than I think the public is giving them credit for at this point in time.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, especially, you know, the Packers, the fact that the Packers don't have a specific number one receiver is actually kind of a good thing against the Eagles because there's no one for Quinyon Mitchell to be like, I gotcha.
Right. Yeah. There's not one guy you have to lock down and take away.
And this is the first game where we're going to see a lot of Cooper DeJean on the outside with Michael Carter as the slot corner. And we'll have to see how that goes for them.
Right.
Against if Christian Watson goes deep or something. All right, that does it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Thank you to Brian for sitting in not just once, but twice. Mike will hopefully be back on Thursday to preview the, as we pointed out, really awesome Week 11 in the NFL. Until then, don't forget to use the FTN Stats Hub at ftnfantasy.com. Don't forget to use Underdog with code FTN. Don't forget to like and subscribe and tell your friends about the show. And we will see you Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern. For Brian Knowles, I'm Aaron Schatz. So long, everyone.